The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What does it mean that the just shall live by faith? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I am glad that you're here. We're currently taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got a question, you can reach us by email, radio@faithalone.org. Before we jump to that, let me remind you about our national conference, which is coming up soon. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org. You can even register right there on the site. So, we'd love to see you there. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to the show where we're taking questions on the Bible and theology, most often on salvation and versus having to deal with that. Here's one from Dave. And Dave says, with respect to the interpretation of Romans 1:17, here's what Romans 1:17 says. Do you have it in front of you, Bob?
Yeah. Well, starting in 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek, for in it, that is in the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Or okay. That can also be translated, the just by faith shall live.
Okay, and he goes on to say, I think that Galatians 3:11 proves that the prepositional phrase by faith goes with the righteous and not with will live. And he says, note the word order in the Greek text. And so Galatians 3:11 says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
But the Greek word order is, the just by faith shall live. However, one of the things that you learn in seminary, and by the way, the same order is found in Romans 1:17, the just by faith shall live, or the righteous by faith shall live.
Yeah.
One of the things you learn when you study the Greek of the New Testament is that word order is not determinative.
In Greek, yeah.
Right, and well, even in English, but especially
that's
in Greek,
yeah.
You can't say, because the Greek word order is the just by faith shall live, that that's the way it should be translated. Maybe it should be translated, the just shall live by faith. A lot of translations have that.
Right.
We're quoting Habakkuk 2:4 in both of those passages.
Yeah.
But Zane Hodges argues, and I think he's right, that what Romans 1:17 is saying, and the same thing in Galatians chapter 3, is that the one who is righteous by faith should live. The shall live is a future tense, and I think it carries the force, at least Hodges argues, it carries the force of a command, of an imperative.
Yeah.
And so what Zane is suggesting is Romans 1:16 is saying the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, it's the power of God unto salvation, which in Romans is not salvation from eternal condemnation. In Romans, soteria, or salvation, is deliverance from God's wrath in this life, Romans 1:18 through 32, which immediately follows Romans 1:16 and 17. And so his point is, how do we get this deliverance? Well, the just by faith shall live. We get the deliverance by living, and the living is found in Romans chapter 5 through 8. Living is not just being alive physically. It's being one who is no longer experiencing bondage to sin, but instead we're experiencing the liberty of those who have been set free by Christ and who are walking in the Spirit. And so I think Dave's right. I think it should be the just by faith shall live. And I don't think that's talking about everlasting life. I think that's talking about really our fullness of life and our experience of the abundant life that Jesus wants us to have, the God-glorifying life.
Do you think that's what it means in Romans 3:11, where Paul quotes Habakkuk again?
Yeah. Galatians?
Galatians 3:11, I mean. There it seems to me that it's really not about, you know, salvation from wrath. He's just talking about justification. And
yeah,
he's
but
using
see,
that verse as a justification verse.
I do think it justifies justification by faith. Isn't that clear?
He justifies justification.
But I still think it does it even if the word order is the just by faith shall live.
Okay.
How are they just? By faith.
Well, how are they
how
living?
How are they righteous?
How are they living? It's because they believed, right? They had faith, so they're alive.
Well, I don't know. I see, I think the shall live part, if it's the just shall live by faith, then it's basically a call to sanctification. It's not telling us how a person is justified. It's saying a person who's justified should live by faith. It doesn't, I mean, they could be justified by any matter or whatever, but they should live by faith. But if it's the just by faith, then that tells us how they're justified, and the shall live tells us what they should do. But that is the way it's normally taken. The just shall live by faith. And so they say, a lot of people say, like Colossians, what is it, 2:4? As you receive Christ, so walk in him. And they say, well, you receive Christ by faith, so you walk by faith. And so a lot of people see this as almost saying, the just by faith shall live by faith.
Right. Well, yeah.
They want it both ways.
The just by faith shall live by faith, right.
And it seems to me, since the expression by faith is not repeated here, that doesn't fit. It has to either be the just by faith shall live or the just shall live by faith, one way or the other.
Okay.
And I don't think the Greek is definitive. So we can't just point at grammar and go, okay, that settles it.
Right.
And also, when you go to Habakkuk 2:4, I don't think Habakkuk 2:4 is trying to make a strong argument in this way.
It's hard to, honestly, I'll be honest. I mean, I don't know what the New Testament writers are doing with the Old Testament half the time. It seems to me like a lot of them would just fail exegesis. Don't you think?
Well,
this is where it comes in, this whole, there's a whole idea that they were just midrashing the whole thing. But
a lot of people come up with different kinds of exegetical methods they used. Some people say what they do is simply pick out some of the words from the Old Testament text and then use them in a new way. But I think Habakkuk probably is saying that those who are just by faith will live. And probably talking about physically living in Habakkuk.
Yeah.
But in any regard, it's an open question about how the New Testament writers understood the Old Testament. And it's an extremely complicated subject. So I'm not trying to give the last word here, but I do think Dave's right. I think it's the just by faith shall live. Well, let me give you another example of this. Okay.
Because here's how I would have normally taken it. This is just like John 3:16. If you want to live, then you need to believe. If you believe, you're going to get justified. If you believe, you're going to get eternal life. So if you believe, you get life.
Okay. So
and trying to do that under the law, you don't get life under the law. You're going to perish forever. So to be justified, in order to get life, you need to have faith.
Okay. So what you would basically be saying is the just by faith shall live eternally, something like that.
Like he says in Galatians 3:11, it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. So how do you live? It's not by trying to obey the law, it's by believing.
Okay. Let me give you an example in Romans that I think proves my contention that it's the just by faith shall live.
Okay.
Look at Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness.
Right.
Okay, now righteousness is another name for the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. So the only condition of being righteous before God in Romans 10:10 is believing. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. It doesn't say anything about shall live.
Right, okay, sure.
So it seems to me that what you find in Romans 3 and 4 is a linkage between faith and righteousness, or faith and justification.
Yeah.
You never find in Romans 3 and 4 anything about salvation or everlasting life or any of that.
There's nothing about living in Romans 3 and 4? I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's
well,
not.
Well, maybe I've
Question.
Forgotten more than I've remembered. But I don't think it talks about life in Romans 3 and 4, maybe.
But most people would just, given what all that Jesus talked about, obviously believing results in life.
Here's the way I like to say it, Sean. And I remember, I think Zane Hodges helped me with this. I used to think justification and regeneration, or justification and everlasting life, were synonyms. And what I would say now is they're similar but not synonymous.
Right.
So justification is an act of God the Father where he declares us righteous once and for all. However, regeneration is a work of God the Holy Spirit where he gives us everlasting life once and for all.
Right.
They both occur at the same time, but they're ministries of different members of the Godhead, And they're slightly different. Being declared righteous isn't quite the same as being given everlasting life.
Right. No, I agree.
Even though there's no such thing as someone who has everlasting life who's not justified. And
also,
there's no justified people who don't have everlasting life.
And also justification, you know, Paul puts it that way, at least in Galatians 3. If you're justified, you live. But if you're not justified, you get condemned and you'll die under the law. So justification is kind of like the flip side of dying. If you're not justified, you're going to die under the curse of the law or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe people don't realize, you know, Zane Hodges has a very unique, I think he's the only person who argues this about Romans, that it's really about this salvation from God's wrath in this life.
Well, I think he may have gotten that from Anders Nygren, a Swedish commentator. Now, he's not as clear as Hodges is, but I have that commentary by Nygren, and I think that's how he argues for Romans. And, of course, people who were discipled by Hodges argue that. Steve Elkins, we have a book by him. He argues that. Rene Lopez, who is discipled by Zane, he has a commentary on that.
Right.
So there are others, but except for Nygren, they originated from Hodges.
Yeah.
And I don't know who had that view before Nygren, but I think, you know, it's not.
I'll have to read Nygren. I have to admit, I haven't read him. But I'll have to. But so anyway, so the basic point is for Hodges, his interpretation of Romans is that once you're justified, now there's a possibility for you to experience a fullness of life, specifically being saved from God's wrath that is somehow expressed. And it's here and now. Again, most interpreters would say this is eschatological wrath. I mean, you sense it now, but ultimately it's in the future. And so Christians are going to be saved from that future wrath. But Zane Hodges is saying, no, this is wrath that's here and now that you can experience.
Right. There are books that talk about salvation from future wrath, but that's 1 and 2 Thessalonians.
Right.
And that's the tribulation wrath, and that salvation is via the rapture.
Right.
But this is a really good topic, and Dave, you've asked
Dave,
a good question. And whatever you mean by it, Dave, you've led to a good discussion
here. Yeah. I'm still figuring these things out. Maybe you are too. And if you have some insight that we've missed, we want to hear from you. Radio@faithalone.org is where you can send your question or your comment or your suggestion.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website, and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. Radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about Jesus' second coming, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.